They work till every last bit is harvested. As Christians, God has called each of us to be laborers in His harvest. The grain is ripened, and the time for harvest is now. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Tonight, our title is Laborers in His Harvest. Laborers in His Harvest. And I trust tonight the Spirit of God will impress upon our hearts our responsibility in our work in His harvest field here tonight. Laborers in His Harvest. Look with me at Matthew chapter 9. A familiar passage that I know many have looked at before. But I trust tonight the Spirit of God will, in a fresh way, bring our attention to this passage. Matthew chapter 9, and look at verse 37. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37. The Bible says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." The verses just before this text that we read here tonight indicate and help us to see, as Christ looked upon the multitudes, he saw the great need around him. As Christ was interacting with the lost multitudes, it became quite apparent to him the great need for laborers. In verse 35 there, it says, he went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Christ quickly saw the need for laborers, and that caused him to turn to his disciples and say, "The harvest is plenteous. Look at it. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And then he encouraged them to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. Laborers in his harvest. First of all, tonight, I want us to see the need for laborers. First of all, the need for laborers. There is a need for laborers because there is a multitude perishing. A multitude perishing. We just read verses 35 and 36. But there we see Christ's heart for the lost. He saw the need all around him. Verse 36, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. There was a multitude that he saw that was perishing. He saw them all around him. You know what? Today we are surrounded with the evidence of a lost and perishing world. Another great example that comes to mind is John chapter 4. I read the verse, or quoted the verse in John chapter 4, verse 35. But previously in that passage, we see the account of Jesus meeting the woman at the well. And there was a needy soul that was perishing. And Christ saw that. And he saw that multitude. He saw that person that was perishing in their sin. And how today, how evident it is, the lost condition of people all around us. Those that go to the university. It's so evident that they are on their own course. They have their own path that they are following. Their own thoughts that they have thought up. And in the high school and out door to door talking to people. It becomes so evident that people are lost. That they don't have direction for their life. They don't have the true purpose and direction that comes from salvation. And maybe you have coworkers that you work with. And you see their lifestyle. You see what they do. And it becomes evident that they're perishing. They're lost. And there's a great need tonight for laborers, because there's a multitude of souls that are perishing tonight because no one has ever told them the message of salvation. The influence of Satan in our world today is very obvious and becoming more and more apparent. We have the drugs of our society. It's just all through our society. And we get the Maquoneago Times, and I'll look at that and see, you know, different things going on. And often in the arrest things, there's always some incident with drugs and things going on, even here in our own community. Or alcohol, immorality, you know, broken homes. All these are indications that there's a society, that there's a multitude of souls that are perishing tonight without the Savior. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 16. There's a need for laborers because of a multitude that's perishing tonight. In Luke chapter 16, a familiar account of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man in hell, we know, lifted up his eyes in torment and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And in verse 27 and verse 28, would you look there with me? It says, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." There is a need for laborers to go and tell the perishing multitude. You know what? You may be the one that someone in hell desires to go to their lost person, their lost relative. You know, the people in hell today are desiring that nobody else would come there. And you know what? Tonight, God needs laborers who will go and will take the message of the gospel. And can be a sobering fact to think that you may be the only one that Christ would use to take the gospel to a certain person. You may be their only hope, their only lifeline. And tonight, there's a need for laborers because of a multitude that is perishing. I was reminded of this sobering reality just this week. Earlier in the week, Monday, Tuesday, was warmer temperatures, and we had our windows open and enjoying the beautiful weather. And at nighttime, we were getting ready for bed, and across this driveway from us is another condominium building. And we could just hear a couple arguing and fighting, and it just was so obvious that they were just at, something was wrong and they were fighting. And it just sat in my heart and really helped me to see this reality that there is a perishing multitude. A multitude of souls that are without Jesus. And it is our responsibility. We are the ones that Christ has chosen to take the gospel to them. That night I prayed that God would somehow open the door for us to get into that family, to see it salvaged. You know, because I know Christ can deliver and rescue a marriage and home. Because I'm sure it's certain that that home someday will be broken. There will be a divorce. And just saddened my heart. But it helped me to see that there's a need for laborers. There's a multitude all around us that need to hear the gospel. I trust that tonight you can remember back to before you were saved. And that time when you got saved. And John Newton penned the text for "How Lost Was My Condition." He says, "How lost was my condition till Jesus made me whole. There is but one physician can cure a sin-sick soul. Next door to death he found me and snatched me from the grave to tell all around me his wondrous power to save. The worst of all diseases is light compared with sin. On every part it seizes, but rages most within. 'Tis palsy, plague, and fever, and madness all combined. And none but a believer the least relief can find. From men great skill professing, I sought a cure to gain. But this proved more distressing, and added to my pain. Some said that nothing ailed me. Some gave me up for lost. Thus every refuge failed me. And all my hopes were crossed. At length, this great physician, how matchless is his grace, accepted my petition and undertook my case. First, gave me sight to view him, for sin my eyes had sealed. Then bid me look unto him. I looked, and I was healed. A dying, risen Jesus, seen by the eye of faith, at once from danger frees us and saves the soul from death. Come then to this physician. His help he'll freely give. He makes no hard condition. To Jesus look and live." praise the Lord, we have the message that this lost multitude, this perishing multitude needs to hear. And tonight I trust that you will sense the need for laborers in His harvest. We see also that there's a harvest waiting. A multitude perishing, but also a harvest waiting. In John chapter 4, I read verse 35, and that's right after the account of the woman at the well. And Jesus said to His disciples, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. In Matthew chapter 9, you can turn back there, Matthew chapter 9, our text here for tonight. In verse 37 and 38, we see three times Christ referencing to the harvest. And obviously the word harvest is different than the word sowing or reaping. It's an indication that there's a harvest that's ready to be taken in. And Christ needs laborers to take that in. Obviously, as Christians, we have a responsibility of sowing the seed and of watering. The Bible talks about sowing and watering, and but God gives the increase. But He here specifically refers to the harvest three times. And look in verse 37, it says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." Jesus saw the harvest. He saw the lost condition. He saw that there was a world that needs to be reached. And the same is true today. I trust as a church we would sense this weighty responsibility to be laborers in His harvest field, to take the gospel to the world in this community. You know, there are people all around us who need and want to hear. Are we giving them the gospel? Are we opening our mouths? Do we believe that there is a harvest that's waiting? Do we believe that that person standing behind that cash register or that person on the other end of the line could be that ready harvest? Do we have that faith? You know, maybe those we interact with daily at work, in school, or in our communities. You know, there's a ready harvest. There's a harvest waiting. And until you begin to open your mouth and until you begin to share the gospel, you won't believe that there's a harvest. You'll just see the deception of Satan, think, oh, they're hardened, they're not going to listen to me. But the moment you step out in faith and open your mouth for Christ, it becomes quite apparent that there are people searching, that there are needy souls that are longing to know the truth. And we have it, and we can't hold it in. You know, I'm thrilled with, even tonight, the testimonies that we heard of the different ministries and so many different people here in our church that are helping in these different ministries and go out soul winning. And praise the Lord for the gospel that is being taken forth. But tonight, we need to remember that there is a harvest that's waiting. And we need laborers who will bring in this harvest that's ready. I've heard of... Sorry, I skipped a little bit ahead there. But we need laborers who will bring in His harvest. This time of year, we're getting into the fall time. And as I mentioned, the harvest season. And it's very often and common, from what I understand, for farmers who really operate on a big level, big scale, for them during that time of year to bring in some hired hands, to bring in some people that will help with the load of the harvest. Because it's such a daunting task, especially for some of the farmers today that farm thousands of acres. And so people will come in and will help them during that period of time, during harvest season. Well, there's a harvest that's ready and more laborers are needed. There are souls all around us and it's time for more to get involved in the work of reaching souls. And we need more laborers in this harvest season who will give of themselves to reach the lost multitude. What a great truth here tonight that it's an encouragement to us that the harvest field is white unto harvest. And yes, there are needy, hardened cases in many, many times. But you know what? Many times that's just the facade that people put on. Many of the times those are the people that are the most prepared and most ready to hear the truth. There is a harvest waiting tonight. I trust that you'll be stirred to get out and to reach and have a part in that harvest tonight. So we see, first of all, the need for laborers. There's a multitude perishing, a harvest waiting. And there's a need for laborers because there is a Savior still seeking. A Savior still seeking. Turn over to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The heart of the Savior has not changed. Until Jesus comes, He desires that men would come and seek Him. And He is seeking lost sinners to come unto Him. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's still true tonight, that Jesus is longing for lost men to come and find Jesus. What an amazing thing. I'll read to you 2 Peter. You can turn there, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He's not willing that any should perish. Today in 2014, He's not willing that any should perish. If you're working here, if you work out in a public place, you know what? Those co-workers, He's not willing that they should perish. He's not willing that they should die and go to hell. And tonight, you need to grapple with that. It's not good enough for you to go to work each day and do nothing about the lost souls around you. He is not willing that any should perish, and they'll never hear, may never hear, unless you take the gospel to them. Unless you open your mouth for Christ. He's not willing that any should perish. We have a Savior that's still graciously, lovingly, long-sufferingly seeking for sinners to come to Him. And because of that, tonight there's a need for laborers. You know, we haven't reached this community. Wisconsin hasn't been reached. Our country hasn't been reached with the gospel. And there's still a need for laborers. There'll never be too many laborers for Christ. There's still a need for laborers. If the Savior is still seeking, who will be a laborer and take the gospel to them? Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and look at verse 14. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Who tonight is going to take the gospel to them? There may be people that no one else in this church will interact with but you. And you have the responsibility to give them the gospel. The Savior is seeking for all men to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. And because of that, we need to be serious in taking the gospel to lost men around us. You may have heard stories, as I have, of missionaries over the years that have gone into remote areas of Africa or different countries, even here with the Indians in years past. And they would go in there and take the gospel to a place that has never heard. And what a glorious thing it was. And oftentimes they would find that someone was searching. That someone there in that group of that community of people was seeking and praying for someone to bring the truth to them. And they didn't know what it was. They didn't know for sure. But they knew that there was something that they needed. And I've heard different stories like that. And you know what? That goes to show that the Savior is still seeking for lost souls to be saved. You know, who will take the gospel to the millions whom Christ is still seeking? The millions in India that have never heard. In 2014, there's still millions that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even now in our country, I've met people that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if Christ is still seeking, who is going to take the gospel to them? Tonight, maybe there's a young person that has never thought or never considered of using their life for God. Never considered using their life for full-time Christian service. Well, tonight I trust you will see at least that there is a need for laborers. There is a need for young people and even adults who will give their life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust tonight you have seen the need for laborers because there's a multitude perishing, a harvest that's waiting, and a Savior still seeking. Secondly, here tonight, I want us to see the preparation of the laborers. The need for laborers. Secondly here, the preparation of the laborers. I think there are some practical things that can be done for parents in homes to help direct, to help guide their family, their children, to serve God in full-time Christian service. There are things, practical things that us as adults can do to be laborers in His harvest. And tonight, I trust that even some of these simple things will be an encouragement and a help to you here tonight. But I first ask parents, maybe you have children here tonight, are you willing to let your child be a laborer for Christ? Are you willing to say, Lord, if you would want them, you can take them? Maybe dad, are you willing to maybe give up the dreams that you maybe have for your child and say, Lord, they're all yours? Maybe mom, are you willing to give them up and say, Lord, I trust that you would use them for your service. I trust that you could use them in full-time Christian service. Do you see tonight that as one of the most valuable things that could be done with their life is for them to serve God in full-time Christian service? To give their life, to take the gospel. To take the gospel to those who have never heard. So secondly here, let's look at the preparation of the laborers. What can you, maybe as a parent here tonight, do? Or even adult that maybe don't have children in the home. First of all, you can witness everywhere you go. Witness everywhere you go. Really, the Great Commission is for us to take the gospel to every creature. That's our responsibility. And as parents tonight, we need to witness everywhere we go. Do our children recognize us as soul winners? Do they sense in us a heart for lost people? If they were to detail our life, would it at all cross their mind that my parent is a soul winner? You know what? The majority of those who are soul winners, the majority of those that are here on Monday nights, are those who were exposed to it as a young age. That's not in the Bible, but you know what? I've noticed that. Those that at a young age get a heart for soul winning, it just sticks with them. It becomes a part of their life. And you know what, parents, you can start to cultivate that desire in your children's heart by witnessing everywhere you go. You know, it's funny, today even thousands of young people took the field to practice or play football games or soccer games. Right across the railroad tracks from our apartment, there's a soccer field back there. And even yesterday, the subdivision around it was just packed with cars, with children and families involved in these little leagues sports. And you know what? Their parents and these young kids, they're just aspiring to be the next NFL player, the next World Cup champion. And here at a young age, these parents are setting that before them. They're wanting them to pursue that with their life. Well, tonight, if you want your young person to have a heart for God and to serve Him, you have to set those things in front of him. And being a witness everywhere you go will start to tell your young person, you know what, this is important. This is what I want your life to be centered on. You know what, Monday soul winning times is a great opportunity to get involved and to be a witness. You say, oh, I don't know what to say. I've never given the gospel to someone. Well, you know what? You'll never learn and you'll never become a soul winner until you just start, step out in faith and start doing it. And I find the more I give it, every time I give it, it becomes more and more natural. It becomes more and more just comfortable. And we have to work hard to win souls and pray much for lost souls. You know, in our family devotions, do our children sense that we as parents are consumed with lost people, with reaching them with the gospel? Do we have them in our home to be a witness to them? Are we concerned about our neighbors, about those that we have contact with? We need to be witnessing everywhere we go. What's another thing that we can do to prepare laborers for His harvest? You know what, parents? You can begin talking with your children about serving the Lord with their lives. You know, recently I've talked to young people and asked them, hey, have you ever thought about serving God with your life? And they said no. They've never thought about it. Well, tonight, young person, would you consider that as a possibility for your life if the Lord would lead you? That you would serve Him with your life. And parents, I trust that you'll begin talking about that and encouraging that. You know, ask them, have you ever thought about being a missionary? Have you ever thought about being a preacher? Have you ever thought about these different things? Encouraging your children, having them read good missionary biographies and just encouraging them in that way can go a long way in training them and preparing them to be laborers. You know what? You need to make serving God and involvement in the church the most important thing. Nothing else should come above the Lord's house. Nothing else should come above serving God and the opportunities that are before you. You know what? Parents, we have a great opportunity to prepare our young people to be laborers for Christ. And I trust tonight that you will see that as an opportunity, a responsibility that you have to prepare laborers for Christ's harvest field. Another way that I think and believe that we can prepare laborers for His harvest field. You know what? I think it's important for parents and for young people alike to plan on going to Bible college and preparing to serve God with their life. Plan on your children training in a Bible college that has the same heart for souls and convictions and that will strengthen their faith in God. You know what? That ought to be, I think, something natural for parents to think, all right, as long as God leads, I'm going to, by God's grace, put my children in Bible college. As long as God opens the door, they're going to prepare to serve God with their life. And you know what? I can look back to my years in Bible college and, you know what? I could have had a really nice truck. I could have had a really nice truck. I could have had a lot of money to spend. But you know what? I'm thankful that I gave all the money I'd saved and earned to go to Bible college. No, I don't regret it one bit. Training to serve the Lord. And you know what? I think that ought to be something that you put before your young people. Hey, Bible college. Train to serve God. And you know what? There doesn't need to be a negative spirit about young people going to Bible college. There shouldn't be that. Training to serve God with their life. And I've sensed that recently in our young people, that it's a negative thing. That why would you do that? Well, you know what? If God's calling someone into the full-time Christian service, that ought to be exciting. To see how God's going to use them. And there ought not to be a negative spirit about someone that's giving their life to serve God or has that heart to be used of Him. And tonight, the idea is not to say that everybody here is going to be in full-time Christian service as a young person. I understand that God has a perfect will for each person's life. But you know, I think it's our responsibility and the responsibility of parents to plan and to put in front of the young children that idea of serving God with their life. And if God closes that door and directs them somewhere else, at least they'll be prepared to be a soul winner. At least they'll be prepared to serve God in the local church. And even tonight, if you say, God hasn't called me to full time Christian service in this aspect of Bible college, you know what? You need to know how to function. And once I asked Pastor about this, and he gave me this idea, they need to know how to function in a local church, how to witness, how to raise children to serve God. And those are all our important things. And so I trust tonight you sense my heart in presenting this. But you know what? I sense a lot of young people here don't have any desire, any drive for their life. Many don't. And tonight I trust that the need for laborers in God's harvest field will stir you and help you to see that tonight God wants to use you. Your life isn't a waste. It doesn't have no purpose. It's not like God has made a mistake. If you're a child of God, He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And the best thing you could do as a young child, as a young man, as a young lady, is begin to have a heart cry and desire to see God use you in full-time Christian service. And you know what? Young person, God will make it clear. Maybe you're a teenager here tonight. Well, you know what? It's not the... I think many times it's easy for us to think, oh, we're surrendering and we're giving up a lot if we serve God with our life. No. We're gaining everything, the best. And it's not like that we're stepping into some lower class to serve God with our life. It's not a lower class calling in your life or a foolish decision. Or, you know, I turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I think if we see Christ's heart here tonight, it's not a foolish decision. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 1, it says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a evil thing." No, he desireth a good thing. A person to give their life to preach the gospel, to give their life to serve God, to be a laborer in His harvest, that's not foolish. That's a good thing. That's how God sees it. That's how the Apostle Paul saw it, a good thing, if he desireth that work. You know, this is a work that God is very interested in. You know, this is right on His heart. For people to be laborers in His harvest. And it's not just for young people here tonight who have their whole life ahead of them. If an adult saved later in life, praise the Lord for the rest of the years God gives you, you have the opportunity to be a laborer in His harvest. And I trust tonight you will be stirred to be that. To be that labor. And for a young child, there's no greater calling with your life than to serve the Lord with it. You know, tonight maybe there's a young person here that has seen the need to be a laborer for Christ in His harvest. Praise the Lord. Would you respond and let God open your heart and let Him do all that He wants to? Would you yield to that working that God is doing in your life? Maybe there's a parent that sees they have not been doing what they ought to provide an atmosphere in their home that is pointing and aiming their children in the direction of full-time Christian service. You know what? What we put in front of our children, that's what they're going to pursue after. You know, if it's sports, that's what it's going to be. Whatever it is, that's what they're going to follow. And I trust that in our homes we'll be creating an atmosphere where children are hungry and desiring to serve the Lord with their lives. Friend, whatever the case, would you see the great need for laborers in His harvest? No matter what condition you're in here tonight, whether you're a young child, an adult, middle-aged adult, would you see that we have a responsibility to be a laborer in His harvest? You know, it's time that we step out in faith and believe God. I tell you, there's nothing like seeing a soul come to Christ. There's nothing like being used of God to see the gospel impact a life. And to give your life to it. And to just surrender to whatever God has and being used of Him. You know what, if you made a decision on the youth camp out to be a witness for Christ, don't give up on that. Keep opening your mouth. Just keep stepping out in faith. And you know what? It gets a whole lot easier to open your mouth. It gets a whole lot more comfortable to speak for Christ as we get involved in it. And tonight, I trust that we will see our responsibility to be laborers in His harvest field. We saw that there was a multitude that's perishing. Christ saw it and He was moved. I think we should be moved here tonight. Those that work in kids club, to see the homes that these children come from. To see that they're lost. That they're perishing. They need Jesus to set them free. There's a multitude that's perishing. There's a harvest that's waiting. We have to go out and reap it and harvest it and bring it in. Open our mouths and be that mouthpiece for Jesus. And there's still a Savior still seeking tonight. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I trust tonight we'll be moved to action, that the Spirit of God will convict us and convince us that this is the truth and that we need to be laborers in His harvest. May this church be a place that is able to send forth many more laborers to work in His harvest field. Tonight, would you respond and let God do the work that He wants to in your life tonight? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, tonight, would You give us just a glimpse and a sense of the heart of Christ in His compassion for lost souls. And yet, well, at times it may seem discouraging or that nobody wants to hear. Lord, would You encourage us tonight with the fact that there is a harvest that's waiting and that the Savior is still seeking for lost men to be saved. And those that seem hardened, Christ is still desirous for them to be saved. And Lord, I pray tonight specifically that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into His harvest field. Tonight, that young people would hear Your call on their life. That young people would begin to sense that there is a great opportunity that they have to seize and to be used of You to serve and to reach lost souls with the gospel. Tonight, I pray specifically that parents would sense their obligation and their responsibility, Lord, to prepare and train their children to serve You with their lives. With heads bowed and eyes closed here tonight.